the studios of Radio Sai at Prashanti Nilayam, I am Chandu Vijay and this is Love to Love. And today we have a talk by Dr. Art Ong Jim Sai. Dr. Jim Sai, who hails from Thailand, is a highly learned scholar, an eminent scientist, a successful businessman and an influential educationalist. Dr. Jim Sai has contributed immensely to the field of education with focus on human values, having started the Sathisai School of Thailand and the Thailand Institute of Sathisai Education, and also having authored several books on this topic. In this talk, he narrates scintillating personal experiences with Bhagwan, like how Swami saved his family during World War II. This talk was delivered as a part of the Samarpan program in Vrindavan Ashram on the 17th of July, 2016. Stay tuned, dear listeners, interspersed and after the talk, we will have some soul-stirring songs sung by overseas devotees. And at 3:30 p.m, we will have the live Telugu segment, Sri Sathya Sai Divya Sandesha Chari. With that, over to Dr. Jim Sai.
I offer most loving pranams at the divine lotus feet of Bhagawan Sri Sathya Sai Baba. Sai Ram to all of you. I'm so happy to be back here once again. I've been here many times in the past and have met Swami in this place many times, as well as, of course, in Puttaparthi. So today, it brings back a lot of memory. So I'd just like to tell you a few things that happened to me with Swami. I was born right at the beginning of Second World War. I was still a little baby. And my grandfather owns this house inside a military compound. And the war started, so the military compound was bombed, first by the Japanese. And we were in grave danger. Then suddenly there was a young man. He came to our house. He met my mother and he gave a little packet to my mother and told my mother, spread it over the roof and you'll be safe. So my mother was grateful, and that young man left. My mother looked at the content of the packet and she described to me that it is white sand. So my mother took it and spread it all over the roof. And you know, bombing started, the war started. At first we were bombed by the Japanese. Very quickly our government gave up and did not fight the Japanese. So we allowed the Japanese to go through Thailand, to go to Myanmar, to go to Burma, to Malaysia and so on. Well, the British didn't like that. They were angry with us, so they started to bomb Bangkok. And of course the Japanese were there also. So our house was not only bombed by the Japanese, which didn't last more than one day and then we gave up, but the main bombing came from the British. They bombed and bombed our house. And you know, at the end of the war, all the houses around us were all destroyed. Our house was the only house left standing. So Swami saved my life. You know, how do I know it's Swami? Well, I didn't know, because I didn't get to know Swami until when I was a little older. In fact, I was already 40 years old when I met Swami for the first time. And I was invited to go and speak everywhere around the world. And also here, I came and spoke to the students. And you know, Swami was sitting in the audience. He wanted to listen to everything I say. But at the same time, I asked Swami, "How long do you give me to speak?" Swami said, 1 hour and 15 minutes. That's a long time to give in front of Swami. But he told me to do this. So I started to speak. And I told everyone about the incident that happened that saved my life. I said, a young man came to our house, gave my mother a packet of white sand, and immediately Swami was laughing away. And he was turning around telling everybody, "I didn't give his mother white sand, I gave Viputi." So you see, it was Swami who came and saved my life when I was born in 1940, a long, long time ago. So I owe everything to Bhagawan for my life. And you know, he's been looking after me. I'm so happy. I'm so grateful to our beloved Bhagawan Sri Satya Sai Baba. He saved my life. He gave Viputi to my mother to spread over the roof. My mother did not know, but I did bring my mother to see Bhagawan on one of the birthday celebration, and my mother was so happy to be able to meet the man who came and saved our life. But we didn't know at that time. So, you see, there's so many things that Swami has done to teach all of us. One day, I was invited to come and speak here, and I was given a room, and I had to share with somebody else, because there were not so many rooms that you have now. So I shared this with another man. This man was an Iranian, comes from Iran. And he told me his story. At that time, Iran and Iraq, they were having a war. And he was a soldier in Iran. He had to fight Iraqi army. And one day, a bomb exploded right in front of him. And he almost died. He was taken to hospital. And the doctors could not help him at all because he's so badly injured. But this man told me there was a doctor who came in. And that doctor was in yellow cloaks. And this doctor, gave some powder for him to take. So he did that. And you know, the next day he was well again. He was suffering from a lot of bombing and so on. He was badly injured. He almost died. But suddenly in one day he was healed. But he didn't know who that doctor was. He said, "It's a doctor," because he came and healed him. So this man left the hospital. He was well again the next day. And he was walking around, and he heard a sound from a house. And you know, there was some singing. So he was curious. He thought it was very good. He was very happy with the singing. So he knocked on the door. Immediately, the singing stopped. And then a lady came and opened the door. And this man said, "May I come in? I like to listen to your singing. I'm so happy to hear that." Well, the people there looked very scared, because they were singing bhajans. They had a center which was illegal in Iran at that time. They could not have a center. They could not sing other religions or anything else, okay, because they are Islamic country. So they were very scared to bring in a stranger. But this stranger said, "Please, may I go in? I heard your singing. I was so happy. I like to listen to you." So finally they allowed this man to go in. And then on the wall where they were singing was a picture of Swami. When he looked at the picture, he said, "That's a man. That's a man who came and healed me in the hospital." So he was so happy and told everybody, and so they were happy and they started to sing bhajans, and he really enjoyed all the singing. But then he made up his mind, he's got to come and visit this man who healed him. Okay, so he came here and I shared a room with him. Okay, so that's how I got to know about what has happened. And the next day, Swami called both of us for an interview. So we went into the interview with a few other people also in the same room. And Swami started to materialize something to give to the people to see, or to give to this particular man who was from Iran. So he waved his hand, Swami waved his hand, and produced a little brooch or something that you can put on your shirt, okay? But the picture on it, the carving on it, was of the Lord Buddha. Gave this to this man. This man didn't really like it. So Swami said, "All right, pass it along, show it to everybody." So it came to me, I saw, oh, it's Buddha. I'm a Buddhist. But Swami said, "Give it back to Swami." So I gave it back to Swami. Then he said, "Ah, you don't like it." So he blew on it. And when he blew on it, it became a cross of the Christians. And the Lord Jesus was on the cross. So this was given to this man. Again, this man did not like it. So Swami said, "Pass it along." So it went around. We all saw it. Swami then took the cross and he blew on it again. And now it became the Om sign. And again Swami gave this to this man. This man looked at it, "Oh, no, no, no." He doesn't like it. So again, it was passed along. We all saw it. And then Swami blew on it again. And this time, it's a sign of the Muslims. The crescent and the star, okay? So the man said, "Ah, this is really wonderful." He was so happy. And Swami said, "You keep it." Gave it to him. But he played a game with this man. So you see, Swami healed this man, cured him. He should have died in the war. He was brought here, and Swami started to teach him, talk to him, okay? And so he was a devotee, he became a devotee of Bhagavan Sri Satya Sai Baba. You know, Swami plays around a lot with everybody. And He played around with me quite a lot also. I used to have a lot of business. I was rich. I was a minister or helper to the minister of education. I was a member of parliament. I was business person. I was well to do. So one day, I owned about 3 or 4 businesses altogether in Thailand. Suddenly, I lost everything. Everything was gone. People cheated me. And they decided to take over the companies and so on. Took it all away. Suddenly. Then I received a note from Bhagawan. Come and give a talk to lecturers, teachers who has come together in Puttaparthi. So I came, okay, but because I just lost all the business, I didn't have much money, I lost all my money, so I bought the cheapest ticket that was available. Okay, and once you buy this ticket, you cannot change. Okay, you cannot change the dates for returning or for traveling. Everything has to be fixed. So I bought this cheap ticket and I came to Puttaparthi, and we had that meeting. Okay, the Minister of Education of India came to open the meeting for the teachers, and after that, okay, I was called by Swami to go and meet him. So I went. And when I met Swami in the veranda, he said to me, "You lost everything. I know. You don't have to tell me," because I was about to tell him about everything, that I lost everything. "I know everything. You lost everything. You lost all your business. I just want to test you." Oh, so Swami was doing a test. He took away all the things from me. So I smiled, I laughed, and then I said to Swami, "Swami, I need to leave tomorrow morning, because I bought a cheap ticket and I cannot change my ticket." Swami said, "No, you can't go." You know, once Swami said, "No, you cannot go. You don't try to go. Otherwise, you're in trouble." You know, I tell you another story of a man who, he's quite well known. He used to be heading the organization, world organization, around the world. Okay? And one day, this man had to leave to go back to United States. He's from United States. So he told Swami, "I need to leave today, Swami." Swami said, "No, don't go." Wow. So he tried to cheat a little bit. So he decided not to go on the same flight. But he changed his flight. He went on another flight. And he flew back anyway, okay? And on the way, the plane was hijacked. Suddenly, there were a lot of people on board, and they have hidden guns somehow, and they were pointing to everybody. Everybody, "Don't move, don't make any noise," told the pilot to land the plane somewhere in the Middle East. And so the plane landed, and this man was told, "Stand on the floor, sit in the floor, on the floor. Don't even sit on the seat. Get down, otherwise you'll be shot." So the soldiers of that country came and attacked the plane, okay, and all the passengers were there. And they were all in grave danger. Then this man who heads the organization all around the world, suddenly there was someone who came and took his hands and moved him out of the plane, outside the plane, went out and quickly escaped. Now, the gunmen, the people who hijacked the plane, didn't see him. So he was able to leave the plane without being seen. And so immediately this man flew back to see Bhagavan. He didn't know who took his hand out from the plane, okay, and went to see Swami. Swami said to him, "I told you not to go, and you went. Actually, you should have died, but I went there to save you. I was the one who took you out from the plane," and he was saved. So you see, when I heard this, I told myself, Swami told me not to go, not to leave. I better not leave. Whatever Swami says, we must do what he told us to do. So I went back to my room and I gave up the thought of leaving in the morning. But in the morning, a man came to my room, knocked on the door, said, "Swami has invited you to go to the back of the Govind Hall, and he wants to see you." So I went there, and you know, there was another room, and we were told to go in that room, and the minister who came to open the conference was there also. And we sat around the table, a round table, and Swami would come and serve us. He gave service to all of us. He came and put rice on my plate, and he asked me, "You like that?" I said, "Yes, Swami. Anything he gives to me," I said, "Yes, yes, oh, I love it." So he put more rice on it because I said, "I love it." And so my plate was full of rice. Then he came around again with some curry. So he said, "You like it?" "Yes, Swami." So he put curry, oh, whole plate of rice and curries and everything else. Oh, so I had to eat and eat. I cannot leave anything on my plate, you know. Then finally the minister said he had to leave. So we all got up. After being served by Swami. Swami was the great server, you know. Really, I never seen him do this, but he was serving everybody with rice, with vegetables, with fruits and so on, you know. And I kept on saying, "Yes, I love it, I love it." He put a lot of fruit on my plates as well. Anyway, finally the minister said he had to leave. So we all got up and went back where the car was parked inside the ashram, and Swami was there, I was there, and the minister went into the car, and the car left. Then Swami turned to me and said, "Now you can go." I looked at my watch, the plane has already left. So anyway, I do what Swami tells me to do. He said I can leave, so I decide to leave, but I already cancelled my taxi. Swami said, "Don't worry, I arranged another taxi for you." So I went by taxi, I went to the airport, and you know, I was so surprised. The staff there said, "Quick, quick, quick, the plane has not yet left. Get on the plane." Okay? So I went on the plane, the same plane that I booked, but it left about 3 hours later. You know, it's much later than before. And then I had to go and change plane at another city in India. So I went to that city, I landed, and again The plane that I had to make connection has already left, or should have left, but it has not left. And the staff there came to me and said, "Quickly, we're going to take you onto the plane." I was the last person to enter the plane. Then the door closed, and then the plane left the airport, and I flew safely back to Thailand. You see, Swami is really strange. He did everything to teach me a lot of lessons, and I learned to be detached, not to be attached to all the business jobs that I had. Okay, and when I went back to Thailand, everybody regretted what they did, and they returned all the companies to me. So Swami again tested everything. You know, Swami used to play with me a bit on the veranda in Puttaparthi. He would come around and would laugh in front of me and tell everybody, "You know, this man, he's a scientist." Not scientist, scientist. You know, so one day there were four famous scientists came to visit Swami. And that scientist, all these scientists were the top scientists of India. So Swami called the four scientists inside his room. And then he looked at me, he said, "You are a scientist, come." So I went into the room with all the top scientists in India. And then he started to materialize things for all these scientists. He said, "You understand this? Ask the scientists." Scientists said, "No, we don't understand." Then he said to me and to everyone, "Okay, this is easy. To materialize objects, rings and so on, it's easy. But I want to show you something." And he waved his hand and put his hand together. Then he started to raise his hand, and to our surprise, there was a little monkey, very small monkey. Then he raised his hand further, and the monkey grew in size and became a big monkey. Swami let go of the monkey, and the monkey was jumping around inside the interview room. So he asked the scientist, "You understand this?" Scientist said, "No, we don't understand anything." And so he asked me, "I don't understand either, Mahaswami." Anyway, then he told me, "Do you want the monkey? I'll give it to you." I said, "No, Swami, give it to the scientists." But all the other scientists, the four scientists who were there, top scientists of India, they all said, "No, Swami, we don't know what to do with the monkey." So Swami told me to go and get the monkey. He brought it on his lap and put his hand on the head, and the other hand on the bottom there, and he started to push the hands together. The monkey became smaller and smaller and smaller. Finally, it disappeared. So you see, Swami is really an amazing person. He did all this just to teach the scientists that is not what we see that is what we call science. Everything that is around us, you've got to understand something that is inner, within yourself, within your own heart. You've got to understand God. You've got to understand things that are not seen as well. And scientists, including me, I said, "We don't understand, Swami." But anyway, Swami kept on teaching us a lot of lessons. So that was a great experience.
Tune into Sai.
Spend the day with Sai.
From 6 a.m. to 9:30 p.m. on Radio Sai Thursday Live.
Radio Sai Thursday Live.
Welcome back, dear listeners. You are listening to Love to Love on the Asia stream of Radio Sai. We will now continue with the talk by Dr. Jim Sai.
Well, I like to tell you other stories as well, talk about my experiences with Swami. Swami once told me to start a school. So I said, yes, Swami, I'll start a school in Thailand. He said, in Thailand. So I said, yes, Swami. So Swami said, how long will it take for you to build the school? I said, 2 years at least. Swami said, no, I give you 1 year. So I had to go back and rush and build a school, and it became one of the first schools outside of India, Satya Sai School. The other one, who was actually started before me, was in Zambia by Victor Kanu. He started the very first school in the world in Zambia. And I started the second school only a month or so after him, because our term started in May, and his term starts in February, so he started before I did. Anyway, we both started the school. And we used the school to teach our children to become good citizens of the world. We trained everybody, trained all the teachers. We took people from all over the world, okay? And we go out and train teachers. So Swami used me a lot to go out into the world to train everybody with human values. And you know, it was very strange. Swami took me everywhere. You know, I once went to Saudi Arabia, the heart of Islam. When I went there, because I was also a member of parliament, so they had to accept me. Okay, I had priority, I could go. And then when they knew that I was going to be giving a talk to Saudi Arabian people, teachers, they called me for a big meeting and said, "You must not touch their religion. You must not talk about any religion. You must not talk about anything that is against Saudi Arabia, against Islam. We will have 10 policemen, religious police, not ordinary police. They are religious police. They will be there listening to you. And if you make a single mistake, you'll be arrested." And of course, we have agreement, because you are a member of parliament, we cannot execute you, but normally we would execute these people, but we'll simply send you back to your country in disgrace. So I said, yes, I'll do whatever you want. So I went on stage, I spoke for 3 hours to all the people in Saudi Arabia. They're all Muslims. The police were there watching every word that I was speaking. And you know, they were all so happy. They gave a big claps. They were very happy to listen, because I use science. I talk about science all the time, talking about science. For example, I said, well, Newton talked about science. So if you hit the table, you get hurt. The table hits you back. That is a scientific law. You do anything, there's always a reaction coming back. I don't talk about the law of karma. I don't say that. But I explain everything in a scientific way. I talked about our life. I talk about what we need to do and so on. We got to love one another, we got to help one another, serve one another all the time, help everyone. Okay, so that is acceptable. So they listen, and the police could not arrest me. And everybody was clapping, they were so happy to listen to something like that, because they never heard anything like that. In Saudi Arabia, they teach in a different way. They don't have speakers from other countries, they're not allowed to come and speak. Okay, so I was very lucky to be there. Another country that I went to speak, United Arab Emirates, also a Muslim country. Okay, I went there and I was asked to train teachers. But the Ministry of Education, the government of United Arab Emirates, said, "No, you cannot talk to people in United Arab Emirates. You can talk to teachers who have come from abroad." And you know, there's an Indian school there. So you say, they said, "I can teach all the Indians." Okay? So I went up on stage. I went up and met the Minister of Education. Sheikh Nahayan. Sheikh Nahayan was the Minister of Education at that time. He came to open the conference. So he told me, be careful what you speak. And he told me he would like to listen to me for 15 minutes. So I will go up, I have to go up on stage, speak to everybody, and he will sit for 15 minutes because he's busy, he has to go away after that. So I went up on stage, I spoke to everyone about human values, okay, for 15 minutes, so it's very short talk, and I stopped. But the minister would not get up. He said, go on, go on. So I went on for another 15 minutes. And the minister, after another 15 minutes, he would not get up. He said, go on, go on. So I went on, another 15 minutes, another 15 minutes. And this went on for 2.5 hours. Finally, Sheikh Nahayan got up. He said, I really need to go now. But give me the opportunity to go on stage once again. So he went up on stage and he said, this is exactly what we need for all of our teachers in our country. So he invited me there in front of everybody to come back again and be the guest of the government and teach all the teachers. So I did that. I went back. I was put into the best hotel in the world. You know, it's like a big sailboat. You know, it's and the room was so fantastic. I never seen any hotel like that. It's really a wonderful hotel. I was the guest of the government and I started to train all the teachers in the country. And then when that finished, and he was listening to everything I said, you know, and in fact, he was laughing away with all the stories I gave. One story I gave was about the king and the five wives. You know, you remember the story, maybe you don't remember. A king had five wives. And one wife would come to the king and said, oh, I want this, I want that, I see something beautiful, you must get it for me. Now the king is afraid of his wife, so he has to comply and buy whatever the queen would ask. But he has five wives. Another wife would come along and said, oh, I want to eat good food, I want to eat this food and that food, you must get it for me. So the king, being afraid of his wives, he has to comply. And then another wife would come along and said, oh, I want this, I want that, they all want this, want that. And they kept on asking for all these things, these five wives. And he has to comply, but he's very unhappy. So he decided to go and make a conversation with his cabinet ministers and said, tell me, how should I deal with my wives? You know, they all want this, want that, and I have to comply. I don't know, I'm not very happy at all with everything that is being requested. Well, the ministers, they all said, we are all afraid of our wives, so we cannot help you. So they made a plan. We're going to invite all the male population to a big meeting. And so on that day, we'll put up a big tent for those who are afraid of their wives. Get them there. Another tent for those who are not afraid of their wives. Then we'll go and get the opinion or advice from the ones who are not afraid. So this is the way they want. So they agreed on that. So the day came, and the tent for those who are afraid of their wives filled with people. All the men population went in there. And no man went to the tent for those who are not afraid. The king was so upset. Are there no men in this country who's not afraid of their wives? Well, finally, one man did come at the last minute, came to that tent, for those who are not afraid of their wives. So the king was so happy, he rushed to that tent and said, "Tell me your secret. How is it that you are not afraid of your wives?" The man said, "I'm also afraid of my wives." "Then why are you here? You've got to go to that tent." "I will not go. You can punish me, you can do whatever you like, but I will not go." "Why? Why won't you go?" "Because my wife told me to come to this tent." So I told this story in front of the minister. He was listening to everything, the whole talk. And he was laughing away when I told this story. Now, all the teachers there, they were very afraid. They came to me and said, "How come you tell such a story? In our country, we are only allowed to have 4 wives, not 5 wives. But the minister, he explained to me later, "Oh, it's really very funny. And it's not like our country, of course. Here we allowed only 4 wives. So you have 5 wives, so it has nothing to do with our countries. So that's good." So he's very happy. So he came to me at the end and said, "Now I want you to go and train all the professors in the country at all of our universities." So not only the teachers were trained, professors at universities were also trained. I went back again and had a nice room in this boat house, whatever you call it. It's the greatest hotel in the world. Okay, so I was there, I trained everybody. So that is United Arab Emirates. You know, I've been going around the world. Swami keeps on telling me, "Go there, go here, go and do this." So I go around the world, and every time he said, "Go there," somehow I get an invitation to go. I cannot just go and train people. You've got to have invitation. So many governments start to invite me to go and train everywhere, in all many, many countries, in every continent. Swami has been using me to train everybody about human values. So one day, I got an invitation to go to Kazakhstan, another communist country. Anyway, I was invited to go, so I did go. And again, the first lady, she was in charge of all the training. So he asked me to speak to all these teachers. So I started to speak to them. And the first lady was so happy. She kept on saying, "This is exactly what we want for our country." So she asked me to go again and again. I had to go 7 times to the country and train all the teachers. It's a huge country. Kazakhstan is a very big country, although the population is not so big, but yet it's all scattered in various cities around. And you know, they have a lot of people who didn't have, you know, children without hands, without legs, without, because Kazakhstan was used as a nuclear bomb experiments. The Russians, they experimented, they exploded nuclear bombs there, and therefore there was a lot of radiation from the atomic bombs, and the children were born without legs, without foot, without arms, and so on. So I had to train all the teachers to teach all these children. And I went to all the cities, and the first lady was so happy with everything. Finally, she decided to come and see Swami, and I brought her to come to see Swami, and she became a devotee of Bhagawan Sri Satya Sai Baba. You know. You know, Swami once said that the Muslims will be the last people to come to him. You know, other religions, they all come, okay, to Swami. And the Muslims start to come in. A lot of countries. I went to train so many countries in the Middle East, training them, teaching everybody about human values. And human values is acceptable to everyone. There's no problem. So I was able to go to all these countries everywhere. In fact, I had to go to all over the world to train teachers. Okay? So we started this school, exactly a copy of the school in India, and Swami said, expand this. So we expanded it everywhere. We started Satyasai schools in 35 countries around the world. And I had to go around training them and bring teachers from their countries and train in our Satyasai school in Thailand. All this is under the instruction of Bhagawan Sri Satyasai Baba. Otherwise, how would it be possible? You know, I go around the world, the whole world. United States, Canada, United States, I go all around. My very last trip before I came here is in Pennsylvania, training teachers there. And I go to Panama, to the islands in the Atlantic Ocean there, and to all the countries, Brazil, Argentina, and so on. I don't know how this is possible, but it's Swami. He does everything. So I have to go around to all these countries in the Middle East, in Africa, in, you know, I go quite a lot to Africa. Now I get invitation to go to Uganda to speak there. So I'm waiting for the right time, right moment to go there. So I'll be going around again everywhere, not only Africa. I went to the whole of Europe. In all the countries, I train teachers there. You know, I don't know how Swami does this. How is it possible for me to go around to all these countries and help training everybody? And not only that, I go to the Middle East. They're the last people to be trained, but we train them all the same. Okay? So, I just want to mention, because we don't have too much time. You know, Swami left his body a little earlier than what we thought. We thought that Swami would be around 95 when he would leave the body. But it was only 85. Okay, now we're in the 90th year of Bhagawan. Okay, he's already gone for 5 years. And how come? Why is it that Swami left his body earlier than what we thought? Okay? This is something that we really need to think about. Don't get upset. Everything is in the plan of Bhagawan. Swami plans everything, every detail. Okay? But everybody is so surprised. Why did he go so early? He's supposed to stay with us till 95. Okay? So, what is happening? And we know that soon after Swami, that he should have left, you know, when he was 95, soon after that, Premasai will be born and will come and start to teach to all of us, and in the time of Premasai, there will be peace on earth. Now, all this we've been told by Bhagawan Sri Satyasai Baba. But He surprised all of us by leaving the body before the time that he's supposed to have left. Okay? Anyway, let's think about this. Why? You know, when Swami is in the physical body, he's very limited. He cannot use all his power. He's God, but he cannot be a God in a physical body, just like that. Okay, yes, he can do many things, many miracles, all sorts of things, but he cannot change people. He cannot change the world very quickly because we have very little time. The new age will soon be upon all of us. All you students, you will see the new age. You live in the new age. So be happy that you're going to be there with Prema Sai. Okay? The new avatar. He's going to be in the new age, bring about a new age of peace in the world. And how is it that we're going to have peace? People are fighting, they're killing each other, they're doing a lot of wars against each other. There's a lot of killing nowadays everywhere in big cities and even in schools and many, many countries. They have fighting and killing. Oh, then how is it possible? But Swami has predicted there will be peace, and when whatever he says, it will happen. So how will it happen? When we look at the situation in the world, it looks impossible because people are fighting, people are having a lot of problems. But you know, Swami has started this university here, teach everybody, he's changing people, and it's not only just in this country, he has started schools everywhere. Now we have organizations, Satya Sai organization, in over 200 countries in the world, almost every country. Okay, everybody in the world have now heard of Bhagawan Sri Satya Sai Baba. We go everywhere, we travel everywhere and train people, talk to people about this. So, how is it that Swami left his body earlier? He left the body, but he's still with us. Remember that, okay? It's not that he has gone away. He's still here. He's here right now. Okay, in this hall, he's here. He's everywhere. He's omnipresent. So, when we think about this, Swami in a physical body is very limited. He cannot show all his power, okay, in a body, in a physical body. He's a human being in a physical body. Okay, yes, God is in the physical body, but he's also in all of us. Okay? Look at us. We're nowhere near God. Okay? But we are God. God is in all of us. So, Swami finds that being in a physical body, he has limitations. So he decided to leave his physical body. He's still alive. He's still with us. He's everywhere. Now he has full power because he's now God, not as a physical body, not a being in a physical body who's very much limited. So now he's unlimited. And we know that another 5 years from now, Bhagawan said he will retire. What does he mean by retiring? He's going to give it over to Prema Sai. Okay? Prema Sai will take over. Prema Sai will be born. He will start to change the whole world, just as Bhagawan took over from previous birth of his Shirdi Sai. So anyway, the Prema Sai era will start soon, and sooner than what we expect. How can that be? With all the population that we have, how can that be? When you read in all the literature, religious literature, for example, the Bible, in the last chapter in the Bible, it tells you, okay, the population will be decreased. Then God will come back, and then a new age will be born. But there'll be less people in the world. So that is something that has been predicted in Christianity. But it's also predicted in all the religions that a new age will take place. Swami has predicted that there will be a new age. So, although Swami will never leave us, he's God, but he will change his form so that a physical form will be born, and the physical form can walk with us, talk to us, be with us, and we feel closeness to God because he's in the physical form. If you're not in the physical form, he has all the power, but he cannot be close to us. And many people are unaware because we are not up to that height where we'll be aware of everything. So you see, Bhagawan Sri Satya Sai Baba has never left us. He appears to have left us, but now he is full of power. He has 5 more years to change the world. The world is in a very, you know, a very sad situation. People are fighting, quarreling everywhere. But this is the way God works. You know, we think, oh, why did this person die? Why did that person die? Death is just a maya. It's not real. We don't die. Nobody dies. And if they die, they're reborn again. But with this new age, those who are not ready will not be reborn again. That means the population has to reduce. And then we'll have Swami coming back, but this time as Prema Sai, and he will then change the whole world. Okay, he will teach everyone, and he'll have a lot of power, and the whole world will then change. Those who are not ready will not go and live in the new world. They have to wait for about 2,000 years. And after that, after everyone who has been reborn has gone to Nirvana, has gone back to God, then the new age will take place, where all the bad people will come back. They'll start to fight again, they'll start to quarrel again, until one day they'll stop fighting. You know, we keep on hitting something and you get hurt. So finally one day you have to stop. So that's the way people learn nowadays. They fight each other, they kill each other, they hurt one another, they get hurt themselves, and finally they'll say, oh, stop it. They will not hurt another person because they also get hurt. That is the way we learn. But in the time of Premasai, there'll only be people, devotees, who are ready to be there. And you are all going to be a part of that. Especially the young ones, you're going to be a part of that. The older ones, don't worry, will die and will be reborn again in the time. We'll be their children, and we'll be learning from them as well. So that's how the world goes. So always remember that Swami is with us all the time. He has not gone away. Will he show himself? Well, we don't know. It's possible for him. He has all the power now. He can appear to so many people and he is appearing to many people around the world. People see Swami and talk to him, and then he goes away, and they said they have met Swami, and this is happening around the world. But he's now free to be anywhere, not just in the physical body. So he is working on our behalf, working to achieve the new age, to prepare the way for Prema Sai. And that Prema Sai is also Swami, but in a different form, okay? So they all have different functions. So Swami came here to get rid of all the bad things in the world. That is the job of the avatar. And the next one will be avatar of love. There will only be love. He won't need to fight people or get rid of people, because all the people who are in the new age will be filled with love and peace. So you students, you are lucky to be born at this time, because not only will you be in the new age, you will see the end of the old age. And this is wonderful, to see the end and the start of something new. Look forward to it. Always remember our Bhagavan Sri Satya Sai Baba. He has not gone anywhere. He's with us. He's here right now. Okay? So always remember, and if you don't know where to look, look inside yourself. Okay? And you'll find Swami there. God is within all of you, and He is with you all the time. So remember, this is what's going to happen. You are so lucky. I wish I was younger, your age, so that I can see fully the new age. But anyway, I told Swami, I want to live to the age of 120. Swami laughed and smiled. He didn't say yes. Why? Because by that time, now I'm 76. Okay, sorry. Yes, I'm 76. So I still have another 44 years, okay, if I'm going to live to 120. So I'll be in the new age. And that's what I want to do. So I keep on praying to Swami, oh, let me be with you. Let me be with you in the new age and see you change the whole world. And I work hard to help you in every way that I can. Okay? And I'll do whatever He wants me to do. I keep on praying this, okay? Because I really like to see it. But anyway, if I'm gone tomorrow, don't worry. I'll be born again quickly. And I'll come back again. So I just want to be with Swami. Work for Swami, help Swami all the time. And that is what we have to think about all the time. Always work for Swami. Always work to help change the world into a better world to live in. Give peace to the whole world. All the time fill yourself with love, with the five human values. Okay, you are so lucky to be born at this time. Okay, that is the best time, because then you change, you'll see the change that will take place. You'll meet both, you heard about Satya Sai Baba. Some of you may have met him, but most of you may not have met him, but you are here in his school. You are so lucky, and very soon we'll have a new avatar. But remember always in your heart, Swami has not left us. He's still here. He's here right now. So be happy all the time. Thank you so much for giving me this opportunity to come to talk to all of you. I'm so very happy to be back again in this place. And I'm very happy because I know Swami is with you all the time. Sai Ram to all of you.
I offer myself to Thee. suggest something to you today. Life is a glorious experience and a true gift of God. So no matter what's going on, don't give up. Just simply keep on giving. Don't give up. Just keep on giving. Don't give up. Just pour. Don't give up. Just keep on living. The Lord will show you more. Don't give up. Just practice trusting. Don't give up. Just be. Don't give up. Stop all that fuss and surrender. You will see. Life is lived one day at a time. Life is all we need. Life's fulfilled once we see all is fine. So give and you will receive. Don't give up, just keep on living. Don't give up, just share. Don't give up, just keep on giving. Your good is in His care. Don't give up, just be happy. Don't give up, live now. Don't give up, follow what's lasting. You'll see exactly how. The universe is a perfect place. It knows just what to do. Our small part is so very simple to know what is the truth. So don't give up. Be always grateful. You're blessed. So be assured. Given a heart that is so pure. Don't give up, just keep on loving. Don't give up, be still. Don't give up, just keep on giving. You'll know His perfect will. The universe is a perfect place. It knows just what to do. Our small part is so very simple to know what is the truth. So don't give up. Be always grateful. You're blessed. So be assured.
I am all power, I am all.
what your heart is made of. I am that I am. I am that. I am that I am. I am that. I am goodness and mercy, peace and light. I'm forever expressing. My heart is so bright. I am always with you. You're embraced by my might. I am that. I am that I am. 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 I am that. So give up, my children, give up the doubt. Know the truth of what I am about. I'm your very own nature. I'm just letting it out. I am that. I am that. I am that I am. I am that. I am that I am. I am that. I am that I am. I am that. I am the self of all that exists. Nothing but me has the will to persist. I am the one. I do not resist, for I am that. I am that I am. Come into form, descended from above. I am all that your heart is made of. I am that I am. I am that. 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 I am goodness and mercy, peace and light. I'm forever expressing. My heart is so bright. I am always with you. You're I am that. I am that I am. 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 I am that. Give up, my children, give up the doubt. Know the truth of what I am about. I'm your very own nature. I'm just letting it out. I am that. I am that. I am that.